Tony Chestnut knows I love him. Tony knows. Tony knows.
Welcome.
Youngins Podcast. Previously on the Youngins Podcast.
Again, Glenn, I can't do that. The home of the Youngins in the Mix. The Youngins in the Mix who mix Prodigy with the Sea Shanties. We could have done you a remix if I could have put a kitchen door to that kitchen floor. It could have been a whole kitchen appliance remix. Baby Sam, he wiggles, he jiggles, he skips and slips and jumps and dives and weaves and bops his way around the world. Oh, Spitfire Marengo, love, would you? Spitfire Marengo. What kind of a woman do you tear me for? Oh, come on, love, Spitfire Marengo. I'm not going anywhere near your Rengo.
Slide door lock. Slide door double tap.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
I don't understand. What is going on with it?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
Putting the oar into fork. This is the Youngins Podcast. 117 coming up this week. For Youngins fans, the phrase Sing John Ball is probably quite a familiar one, because that is the title of one of our favourite songs that we have sang for nearly 10 years, from folk clubs to major folk festivals. But for certain American university students, it's more likely to be Play John Ball than Sing John Ball. We speak to John Hilson from Minnesota, who reveals how the unlikely connection between he and a group of university students was formed. And as well as hearing the Youngins perform Sing John Ball, we also hear an American student dubstep version. Yes, there's been many people who have accused me in the past of talking balls on the Youngins podcast. This week, I shall certainly be doing that. And we are very honoured to have a special live guest on this week's Youngins podcast, performing two songs for us and chatting to us, Sunjay Brain. Two songs and an interview with him. Plus, we'll find out who people think the Youngins look like, and we'll be talking about eccentric amateur radio operators. All that and more coming up on this week's Youngins podcast, entitled The Hedgerow Appreciation Society. All will be revealed before your very iPods. Let's start with our interview with Sunjay Brain, who we had the pleasure of performing with at last week's Beedale Folk Festival, a local gig for us. I'm sure many of you will be aware of Sunjay's work. He's been featured on BBC Radio 2. In fact, he was nominated in 2012 for a BBC Radio 2 Folk Award and winner of the WAF Festival Young Performers Award. We present Sunjay Brain.
Sunjay, an absolute pleasure, my friend. So we've just watched your performance at the Beedale Hall, the Beedale Festival.
Yeah.
And I'm just sort of stunned, I suppose, how much you've managed to accomplish at the age of... You're 19, is that right?
Yeah, just 19.
Just 19, and you've...
Didn't you research pretty quick there, Dave?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm impressed.
Yeah, thank you very much. I knew sort of who you were. I've heard you on sort of Radio 2 and that kind of thing. Never seen you perform. But yes, as I was just making sure I knew the salient points, Sunjay Johnson. And one thing that I found out on your latest single, you've got... You mentioned you've got Dave Pegg, but you've also got from Fairport Convention, but you've also got Roy Plant on there, is that right?
No.
Is that not right?
No.
That's what it says on your website.
It's Andy Edwards, who played drums on the record, was Robert Plant's drummer for a three
years. But hang on a minute.
So it's in brackets.
You cannot. Is it? Is it indeed?
Well, I'm upstairs and he said, I'm really chuffed to have...
Hang on, are you dissing Dave Pegg
here?
You would have mentioned it. You would have mentioned Roy Plant, would you, Sean?
Well, I'd mention them both.
I suppose. Maybe he just slipped his mind. Maybe they've had a fallout. I was going to lead to that. Have you had a fallout with Roy Plant, perhaps?
No.
Okay. So you've got to perform with a whole range of people. When did it all start for you? Like, take us.
When I was four, my dad bought me a guitar. He got sick of me running around as a kid. Pretending to play his guitar and breaking all of his strings, so he figured it would be cheaper to buy me a 3/4 size. Taught me the basic chords, and that's where it started.
So obviously it's progressed from there. But were you kind of doing little gigs around the house at the age of four? Are you still doing any of the tunes that you're in the songs doing now?
Not really, no, because I was a very shy child until I went to secondary school. And then I was sort of pushed into performing arts through teachers there, and then I started to really enjoy it. And, you know, normally, like, a lot of musicians are quite shy people.
Yeah. Very shy, aren't we, Mr. Cooney?
But then when you get on stage, you get this full sense of confidence.
Well, he's quite honest, because I'm quite nervous normally, yeah, but as soon as you're on stage... Yeah. You sort of just lose that, don't you, I suppose?
Yeah.
All your inhibitions go, you start taking your clothes off, you know, all these things start
happening. It's funny, isn't it? You know, you can get nervous with one person talking to you. Yeah. I mean, you know, present company accepted. But
he's not bothered about us.
But, I mean, you can get up in front of, I think, the biggest audience I've played to is... Well, I played to 10,000 people, that was the biggest audience.
Where was that?
The LG Arena, but it's not as good as it sounds. I was doing a warm-up in the foyer, but you get 10,000 people gathered to go into the LG Arena in Birmingham. So
when did you start actually, you know, properly performing then?
2 years ago.
Is that it?
Yeah.
And so how did you make the decision to do it?
I say that, I mean, my dad plays, as I said, and he started taking me to the local folk club, and we went for about a year. Without doing it, the Woodman Folk Club in King Swinford, and then after a year of going and watching, he sang and I played guitar behind him.
Yeah.
So, and that was about 4 years ago. But the first time I ever sang on stage was 2 years ago. And
since then, though, it's massively developed. I mean, did you just literally at that point just do gigs, kind of almost just for free, and just kind of, you know, went out and just did them?
Pretty much, yeah. I was just, you know, doing the proverbial apprenticeship, you know. I was still at college, so I was at college up until July last year.
So what do all your friends think then? Because you're probably a celebrity, a college celebrity, or are they not really bothered about that?
I don't know, you'd have to ask them.
We shall find the numbers. We shall ring around them in a 2-minute feature on the Youngest Podcast. How's things sort of developed from there then? Because obviously now you've got... How did you sort of get all the sort of the notoriety and the radio play and doing these sort of gigs with and performances with people like Dave Pegg?
Well, I entered into the Young Folk Award, and it's really just that, you know. Then from that, I was recommended to the WOF Festival, and I won the Young Performers Award there. But that was because of the Radio 2 thing.
Yeah.
And then I've just been playing lots. You know, you said before I did about 100 gigs last year.
Yeah.
And that's the way you got to do it. You just got to get out there, you know, as you know, and get in front of people.
It's primarily sort of blues music, I suppose, that you do. But obviously you can tell your influences are broad. I mean, you had a bit of Beethoven's symphony in there at one point. But
it's American folk, because I think Americans, they sort of incorporate blues much more freely. Over here, we're sort of a bit more guarded about, you know...
I suppose, because you were doing, like, Stan Rogers and things like that as well. What?
I'm amazed you've heard of Stan Rogers. That is great.
What do you... what would you like to play for us? We'll have a couple of songs, and then we'll set you free. What would you like to play for us?
Well, I'll do that, Stan Rogers.
Lovely. So why this particular song, then? What drew you to this?
You just mentioned it.
No, I mean in general. I mean in general, when you start doing it.
I've got a handful of favourite singers, which ranges from Stan Rogers to Waylon Jennings. I don't know if you've heard of Waylon.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Adele, you know. So
might get some of that later on, who knows?
Which I'm never sure whether to tell people that or not, because some people look at me funny, but... Stan... I'll tell you what it is. My dad was adopted... And he found out at the age of 45 that he's got, he was a only child over here, but his father was American and his mom emigrated to Canada shortly after he was born.
Right.
And he found out that he's got 8 half-brothers and sisters over in Canada and America.
Has he got in touch with them?
Yeah, well, he did, and he went and stayed with all of them. And his brother, who also is a musician, is a big Stan Rogers fan and gave him a CD, and that was the way my dad heard of Stan Rogers.
Thank you.
sun is rising high, burning into the day. I will say goodbye, I'll be going away. I'll brush away my doubts, what tomorrow may hold. Feeling fine for now, I'm going down the road to a city to sing about the trees and the wind, about the hills and the spring and the rivers that bend. The rocky deep paths, all the poppies and ponies running through the grass, up and down the road. Do 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 do. Well, in the dark they sit and they holler for more. White smoke and a wisp from here to the door. Their admission they pay for the stories they're told. Going down the road, so heavy rain at my back, lazy meadows ahead. In my book I keep track of all the promises said. While my song's in town, what tomorrow may hold. I'm feeling fine for now, I'm going down the road.
That's
the authentic stool creak on, chair squeak as well.
You can, this is what I have, sampling and all that's doing well, but you can't emulate that kind of thing there. Excellent.
Well, I mean, Chris Smithers is a big influence on me, and on his latest record, they've got a hidden track,
yeah.
And it's credited as chair squeak and the person that did it. Fantastic.
We should, we could do that, couldn't we? We could get like famous people to just, you know, record their sort of chair squeaks. Could you just record a chair squeak for us? Just a belch or something like that. Something we can just put that on the album and say, there he is, belch on the belches there.
Listen out for that, ladies and gentlemen, on our new album. I won't give anything away. What did he do? Maybe he went one step further and did a fart for us. So listen out for that on the next Young'uns album. We'll be back with Sunjay very shortly, and the only wind emissions will be the wind passing through his lips as he sings the song which he's going to perform for us next, which is his new single, Fire Down Below, featuring, and I do apologise, I was wrong, Andy Pegg from Robert Plant and Dave Gibb, well, from Fairport Convention. They're on the single. I don't mean they suddenly materialise. Will we pull out all the stops on the Young'uns podcast? I just said, come on, Sunjay, it's all very well and good you playing it, but, you know, can you not get on the phone to Andy Edwards from Robert Plant and, you know, get Robert Plant there while he's at it. You might as well ask him. And Dave Gibb? No, Dave Pegg. We can get Dave Gibb from Gibb and Lucas as well. Why not? It's time to find out why this week's Young'uns podcast is entitled The Hedgerow Appreciation Society. We've just arrived in Barton, where we are going to do a double-header gig with Sam Carter. And when we arrived at the gig, I was talking to the lady there who was kind of doing the stewarding and stuff, looking after the place, and she said it's been a bit of a stressful day today, you know, it's been quite an arduous day. I said, oh, why, what's happened? She said, well, we've had a conference, and it turned into a pretty heated discussion, you know, it was quite loud, and I said, oh, right, well, I said, what was the conference then? She said, it was the meeting of the Hedgerow Appreciation Society. And it got a bit lively, did it? She said, oh, yeah, it does. It tends to get a bit lively. There was a particularly lively discussion this week. And I thought, what on earth? You can imagine. Oh, it was a very passionate discussion on the subject of whether a bird in the hand is really worth one in the bush. My goodness, there were some advocates and proponents for that statement, and oh, we had to separate them. They were going at each other, hammer and tong. Oh my goodness. So I think she's pretty relieved. I think folk music is quite placid in comparison. I don't know if it's a National Hedgerow Appreciation Society or if it's just specific for Barton. Or maybe it's an international one. Maybe there's people from all over the world. You know, this could start a world war. Anyway, we'll dedicate this podcast to any Hedgerow Appreciation Society members who might be listening. That's if you've survived. Maybe, you know, you're sporting a bruise or something like that from attending the meeting. All I said was I thought the shears were better in the 80s than they are now. My goodness, and someone hit me with a rake. Unbelievable. It'll be interesting to see the minutes from the Hedgerow Appreciation Society meeting. Maybe we can get our hands on that. I'll have to get in touch with the secretary. The secretary, ladies and gentlemen. Sheer brilliant, my friends. And now it's time for a clip from that Barton gig, and we're discussing certain physical resemblances among the young'uns.
He's over the moon, Michael, because someone told him last night he looks like Buddy Holly.
Normally it's Marcus Brigstocke.
So he's a cross between Buddy Holly and Marcus Brigstocke.
And when we go to Scotland, Sean and I are the Proclaimers. Trying to break with these images sometimes.
Yeah, well, I got these new glasses and sometimes I have my contacts in, but I got my glasses in tonight and I was dead chuffed with them, and then Thatcher died and all the old Tories came out of the closet and they've all got these bloody glasses. Major, Howard, all the buggers are wearing them.
Do you know, I thought I'd miss something in the news then when you said all the Tories came out of the closet. I'm like, what? I thought, why are so many against like, civil partnerships? You know, that guy's a bit miss here. Anyway.
Back to Barton. Sounds like an album. Back to Barton. An album of Humberside songs. Just something to think about there, if there are any Barton folk singers. I don't know, are there any famous Barton folk singers? I'm just going to show myself up now. I've already shown myself up for being ill-researched when it comes to Sunjay Brain. There we are. Someone from the BBC was listening and they turned it off. We were just about to turn it off, and then they heard my comment about the belching, and then they thought, we'll stick with this. This is the man for us. And then I mentioned farting, and get the Director General. We're going to have to employ this one. Absolutely fantastic. Give him his own folk show. Yes, I'm probably going to show myself up there. There's probably a really, really famous folk singer from Barton who I'm not aware of, but never mind. Anyway, the whole point of what I was trying to say there was we will be back to Barton. We get a bit nostalgic and we talk about the last time we were in that area. But before we do that, it's time for a bit of a John Ballathon. We're going to be speaking to our special guest on the Young'uns podcast, another special guest, on Skype to Minnesota to speak with John Hilson. We managed to form a connection on the internet, quite unexpectedly, all because of the song John Ball. But before we do that, let's hear that song, and a little bit of talking before that about the song, from the Ryburn Folk Club near Halifax.
We'll sing you a song which was written by Sidney Carter, who wrote The Lord of the Dance, amongst many other great things. And it's about John Ball, who was the leader of the great peasants' revolt of 1381, who didn't have the dignity of being buried in a car park. But he was hung,
apparently. Was hung where W.H. Smith's now is in St. Albans, yeah. I believe.
No, someone told me, yeah, he was tried in W.H. Smith's.
All right.
Yeah, someone once said, oh, do you know he was tried in W.H. Smith's? I said, haven't we all been? Those chocolate oranges, you know, when you buy paper, they say, would you like to buy a chocolate orange?
Do you think he got that? Before John Ball,
like a chocolate orange, sir. I only came here to get a newspaper.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that was hardly necessary, was it? Right, here we go.
I'll be the lady who will be the lord when we are ruled by the love of one another. I'll be the lady who will be the love in the life that is coming in the morning. Sing John Ball and tell it to them all, and long live the day that is dawning. I'll crow like a cock, I'll carol like a lark in the life that is coming in the morning.
in the light that is coming in the morning. So sing, John Bull, and tell it to them all, and long live the day that is dawning. I'll crow like a cock, I'll carol like a lark, in the light that is coming in the morning.
All shall be ruled by fellowship, I say.
In the light that is coming in the morning,
so
sing, John Bull, and tell it to them all, and long live the day that is dawning. I'll crow like a cock, I'll carol like a lark, in the light that is coming in the morning.
Labour and spin for fellowship, I say.
Labour and spin for the love of one another. In the light that is coming in the morning,
so
sing, John Bull, and tell it to them all, and long live the day that is dawning. I'll crow like a cock, I'll carol like a lark, in the light that is coming in the morning,
so
sing, John Bull, and tell it to them all, and long live the day.
My goodness, the voices of many that make up the Ryburn Folk Club contingent, along with the Young'uns. I say along with, we don't put the Young'uns first, because we were swept away there by a tidal wave of voices. Absolutely brilliant. And that was, of course, the song Sing John Bull, which for us is synonymous with, well, synonymous with us, I suppose, with what we do, with what we, who we are and what we sing, because that was one of the, that was the first song that we ever learnt together and sang together about 10 years ago, and we sang it at the folk club in Stockton, and then we've, since then, we've sang it up the echelons, I suppose, of different folk clubs, and we've performed it in at folk festivals in England and Europe. And of course, for us, it's a song about, as we said, the Peasants' Revolt of 1381. But for certain American university students and for American citizens, the words John Bull mean something very different. And now joining us from Minnesota on Skype is someone to whom I've never spoken to before, but the song John Bull brought us together, John Hilson.
Hello.
Hello, John.
David, how are you doing?
I am very good, sir, and it's excellent to speak to you, my friend.
This is excellent. I'm really excited this is happening.
Listeners are probably a little bit wondering right now, John, who exactly is on the line? I've told them that you've got a connection. We've just played the song John Bull. To us, that song is synonymous with folk music. We've been singing it in the clubs, the folk clubs and festivals for 10 years now. And but for you, it means something completely different, I suppose, doesn't it, John?
It's different, but at the same time, it's the same. Well, it's this coincidence because, you know, the song is about that priest, John Bull, who led the Peasants' Revolt, but it's also, coincidentally, the name of a made-up sport that we're playing a bit here in the States, also called John Bull.
Tell us about this sport, then. What on earth is the sport John Bull?
It's this sport that came about kind of by accident, but it's in the game, everyone is equipped with their own bat, their own plastic or foam bat. And you use that bat to hit a large inflatable ball at the opposing players. So it's kind of like dodgeball, but everyone has a bat.
And I think there's videos, isn't there, on YouTube, which we can link to there of people of people playing this game then. When was this invented? How did it come about then?
I was just a young gun myself. This was 2005. I'm in seventh grade. And me and a buddy were at this neighborhood party. There were bats on one corner of the yard, balls on the other corner. And just being, you know, seventh grade boys, it wasn't long until we were bringing the two together and then, you know, being maybe a little violent and using the bats to hit the balls back and forth at each other.
Right, okay. And is there any more rules to it than that? Or is it just literally every man for themselves, let's just start smacking each other and hitting the balls into each other?
That's one way to play, and that's a very valid way to play. But there's also a number of game types. So there's different individual game types. There's different team-based game types. But we don't really have too many rules because rules kind of suck. They kind of ruin things if you put too many rules and penalties and officiating on something that should just be plain old fun.
You see, now listeners to the Young'uns Podcast will probably agree with you, but unfortunately, John, there are many rules to the Young'uns Podcast, hundreds of them, in fact, that the listeners must adhere to before they can even listen to the Young'uns Podcast.
I was not made aware of these.
No, I'm sorry. So we have to agree to disagree on that. There's hundreds of the things. How on earth, John, did you then stumble across us and us singing the sound John Sing John Ball?
I think the first answer to that, you know, it had to be some kind of divine intervention. It had to be some kind of God or something, because it's a miraculous thing that we're now here talking. The second answer to that is YouTube. And
I like the first one.
You know, we can go with the first one. We can
it was a spiritual calling. Who knows what evocation we are meant to serve on this planet? But I think that together, John, the young'uns and yourself and your associates will discover this.
Yeah, and it's a big, you know, cosmic mystery. I think that's unraveling right now.
This is just the beginning. But you see, you found us on YouTube then. So you just typed in John Ball, presuming you were going to see videos of yourself. Is that what you weren't aware of the song at this particular time, I assume?
No, we weren't aware of the song. And it wasn't me. It was someone who an old buddy of mine who had since moved to Illinois. And he posted about it on this Facebook group and was like, oh my God, guys, there's a John Ball song out there. And it was you guys, it was the Young'uns. And we were all excited because, of course, there's not just that chorus of sing John Ball, but there's also, you know, it's a good song. It's things that we can all find to be very agreeable.
So then you decided to sing your own version of this song.
Yes, there's a couple different versions. The St. John's University, their chapter of John Ball, they have some guys who sing it fairly often. And then we had kind of our first national John Ball tournament gathering last summer. And we were sure to sing the song because it's kind of become our anthem of the sport. Anyone who plays John Ball on a somewhat regular basis is quite aware of Sydney Carter's John Ball. All these videos, the probably the best way to find them is we just put up a website, and that's playjohnball.com. And under a video sections there, you'll see that we have a couple different versions. And just a word on that video, we have two videos out for John Ball song, and you can pick between the two of them. The one we did at Nationals is pretty fun. In the last verse, the guys went into like a cappella dubstep version. But that one's pretty fun.
Because we have a feature on the Young'uns Podcast called The Young'uns in the Mix, where we mix things like sea shanties with The Prodigy and that kind of thing. And so the idea of a dubstep John Ball remix is excellent. We're done with a lot of human beatboxing and that kind of thing. Is there a John Ball season?
I mean, there's a season. We play, you know, January through December. We play all year round, you know, in the summer, in the snow, indoors, outdoors. People are always finding a way to play.
But you're obviously the inventor of this about 8 years ago. So how widespread is it across the universities now then?
You know, it's hard to tell. There's at least a dozen or a bit more active chapters that we know about. But what we've been learning lately is popping up and being played by people that we have no connection to. And for a lot of people, it's just a sport they hear about through a connection or online, and they just get the bats, get the balls, and start playing. So it's more widespread than than I or anyone else I know.
Okay, there's a couple of things here then to which I think we need to do in the future. Firstly, I think the young'uns are going to have to play John Ball. How many people would you say is the minimum for John Ball? How many people is it the optimum?
It can be any number. I've played a lot with just another friend, just the two of us, and then it can get up to 60, 70 people playing at once.
So you need like an even number of people.
No, not necessarily. You can play individual game types that work with any odd number of people, and different team game types that even work with odd numbers of game types. We try to make it work under any situation. There's always a version of John Ball, a different game type that you can play.
Okay, so if we go to playjohnball.com and we look at the website, presumably the idea of what it's about will be on there. We can follow that. And the young'uns, we'll upload a video to YouTube at some point of the young'uns playing John Ball. So then it's gone full circle. You have sang the young'uns version of Sing John Ball, and then we're playing the sport John Ball. We need a kind of some commentary of a John Ball match, perhaps, so that the listeners, you know, you could provide some sort of audio commentary of a John Ball match in progress, and then we could bring it on the young'uns podcast, your official John Ball station. When's the next John?
I would be more than willing to do that. I there are tears in my eyes just thinking about the beauty.
Our official correspondent. Before, you know, it gets too big and goes to Sky, the Young'uns podcast are going to get it first. So what we're going to do now is, if you just stay on Skype, we'll have a little chat while the listeners enjoy your version of John Ball.
Sounds great.
Excellent. So we'll speak to you very shortly, John.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, John.
John Ball! When we are true by the love of one another, who will be the lady, who will be the lord in the light that is coming in the morning? Sing John Ball and tell it to them all. Long live the day that is dawning. And I'll crow like a cock, I'll carol like a lark in the light that is coming in the morning.
There we are. We're crossing all barriers. There are no barriers when it comes to the young'uns. We break down all the barriers when it comes to folk music. And there we are. There's another one. We've broke into dubstep now, ladies and gentlemen, and into the hearts and minds of American students. We're taking over the world. Anyway, we'll have more John Ball at the end of this week's Young'uns podcast. A woman who basically was tidying up the area after our gig in Ryburn, and we left the recorder on the stage. Yet again, we managed to capture some audio. It happens all the time. Seemingly, she must have been unaware that it was being she was being recorded. She just started to give a little sing and a little hum of John Ball. So I thought, you know, since we're going the whole hog, playing different versions of John Ball, we'll just end with that. But I don't know why we're talking about the end, because we're not quite there yet. We've still got another song from Sunjay Brain, who we're going to cross to now for his epic version of Bob Seger's Fire Down Below.
Let's have, before we have another track, what's the future for Sunjay? What do you want to do next? Because you were joking on stage about if you sell enough CDs you'll be able to afford to go to university. Are you actually planning on doing that, or are you just quite happy doing what you're doing right now?
No, I'm very happy doing what I'm doing at the moment. You were saying things starting to happen. They are starting to it's starting to get a lot better, you know. I'm getting more gigs coming in, and it's all really about noise and excitement, and you know, I've got an agent now, so I don't have to worry about scrapping around trying to get gigs too much. I've got someone else to worry about that.
Yeah.
And I've got management now, so they're doing various things. And I'm working on a new record at the moment, actually.
Oh, name for that one?
No, not yet, actually. Okay. We're still working on the songs.
Could there be a chair creaking in there?
Quite possibly.
We can happily do a belch for you if you like. let's have one more song then before we let you go, because you've done absolutely loads today, so conscious of that. What would you like to do for us?
I don't know, is there one that you heard earlier that you particularly like?
I think every single track, to be honest. But do you want to do the last one you did?
I was going to do that one, actually, yeah. It's a bit loud, but...
Here come old Rose, looking mighty fine. There goes Hot Nancy, stepping right on time. Here come the streetlights, bringing on the night. There go the man, faces hidden from the light. All through the midnight, that That's when they come and they go, with only one thing in common, they got the fire down below. Here come the rich man, big long limousine. Here go the poor man, all you gotta have is green. Here come the lawyer, the banker and the cop. One thing for certain, it ain't never gonna stop. It all gets too hip, that's when they come and they go. With only one thing in common, they got the fire down below. Well, now it happened up in Vegas, happened in Moline, on the blue blood streets of Boston, Berkeley out in Queens. It found yesterday and it's going on tonight. Somewhere that somebody treat somebody right. Well, now it happened up in Vegas, happened in Moline, on the blue blood streets of Boston, Berkeley out in Queens. It went on yesterday and it's going on tonight. Somewhere there's somebody in treat somebody right. So now he's looking out for Rose, looking mighty fine. Walking the streets for Nancy, you'll find her every time. When the streetlights flicker, bringing on the night, they'll be slipping out the darkness, they'll be slipping out of sight. It all gets too hip, that's when they come, that's when they come, and they, you see them come and they go. With only one thing in common, they got the fire down below. With only one thing in common, they got the fire down below. With only one thing in common, they got the fire down below.
My goodness, I thought it was brilliant when we heard you on the microphone, so that is, thank you very much for doing that, because, oh, and he throws his plectrum down between my legs, that's what he does on stage, which is a come on where I come from, Sanjay. We'll stop the recording now, sir. Thank you very much, my friends.
Thank you.
My goodness, Sanjay Brain, ladies and gentlemen, on the Young'uns podcast, and we always say, if you're thinking, thank God that's over, Sanjay's thinking, I won't have to do that again. We always say on the Young'uns podcast, once a friend of the Young'uns podcast, always a friend of the Young'uns podcast, which means you'll be coming back at some point. We'll press gang you again. We did, must apologise, we almost did press gang him into doing the interview because we kind of just approached him in the corridor and shoved a recorder in front of his face, and he was far too professional to sort of say, who the hell are you? In fact, I had to dress up as Mark Radcliffe. He thinks he's been interviewed for BBC Radio 2. He has no idea it's only the Young'uns podcast. Sorry about that, Sanjay, but you've got to try these dirty tactics if you want to get the premier guests on. Oh, can't do that again, though, now, can I? I was going to do that with other groups, dress up as Mark Radcliffe. Oh, it might still work. Or what'll happen is Mark Radcliffe will walk in to do an interview, and this group will go, oh, I'm not, no, we're not doing it. What? It's BBC Radio 2, it's the folk show. No, it's not. We know who you are. It's David Eagle impersonating Mark Radcliffe for the Young'uns podcast. You'll lull us into a false sense of security, you'll ask us to do an interview, and then before you know it, you'll whip your mask off and you'll start talking about farting and breaking wind and belching and all sorts of stuff. We're professional folk singers, for goodness sake, Mark. I mean, David, we're not having this. You see, you nearly fooled me there. But I wasn't fooled. I corrected myself. Anyway, before we go, we've got time for one more clip, and we're getting a bit nostalgic about the last time we were at Barton, because obviously a couple of weeks ago we were at Barton doing a doubleheader gig with Sam Carter, and if you listened to last week's Young'uns podcast, then you'll have heard our collaboration with Sam Carter doing the No Testament. We're going to put all these clips on our website, incidentally, as well, so sort of related podcast links, so we'll probably end up putting those two Sanjay Brain tracks on, and we'll put the Sam Carter collaboration and the Young'uns in the Mix stuff as well, so that you can listen to that without having to listen to all these bits in between if you want. We're going to head back to Barton, but we get a bit nostalgic about the last time we were in sort of the Hull area. And for old podcast listeners, people who used to listen to the old series of the Young'uns podcast, you very brave people, you might remember this very incident. But whether you do or not, let's revisit our gig in Barton.
Do you remember the first time we came to Humberside, David?
Just me and you, Sean, yes, the waves lapping. I remember it, yes.
No, you're not doing these rumours any good at all.
No, I don't remember it. What happened?
No, we came down to, about 5 or 6 years ago, we did It's not going anymore. Beverly Beck.
Oh, the Beverly Beck
Sea Shanty Festival. And we had one hell of a weekend. It was fantastic.
That was a weird.
And we were actually on stage. We were in a pub by the canal. And we were on stage in one side of it. And on the other side of the pub, Hull City were in the playoff final at Wembley. So we were singing to ourselves. And,
it was quite strange.
It's a really odd festival. They had all sorts of weird stalls in there. One of them was a ham radio stall. Not like radios made out of meat, just in case anyone doesn't know. It's like, you know, like amateur radio type thing. And well, there might be some younger people who haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. So
there's one of them here.
And there's another one here. Excellent. But that's not really young, that's just unintelligent. But anyways, what happened was... we had this weird thing, there's a ham radio stall. And so we went over to have a look, but it was really odd because to exhibit the ham radio, they didn't do any long distance chats to show how brilliant amateur radio was. You had one bloke stood essentially over there, and another bloke stood over there, and they were going, this is brilliant, listen to this. Can you hear me? Over. Can you hear me? And he went, yes, I can hear you. And they were just stood over there. And so they were doing this for half an hour until I pointed out they hadn't even got the bloody thing switched on. They were just the. It was absolutely ridiculous. It was a really weird... You just get so many eccentric people in folk music. And of course, before you start, we are not testament to that. No.
Bit of hard times, no? Yeah. I'm shouting, you're only there, but soon.
Over. Yeah, right. Exactly, yeah. Can you hear me? Do your copy. It's not a call and response song, so no.
And whether you're an amateur radio enthusiast or not, it's over and out for the Young'uns podcast. Thank you to John Hilson, the creator of the sport John Ball. Thank you, of course, to Sunjay Brain for two brilliant songs and his interview as well. And we'd also like to thank the members of the Hedgerow Appreciation Society for existing. And we'd like to thank you, of course, for listening to this week's Young'uns podcast. Join us next week for the 118th Young'uns podcast, when we'll be joined live by Bob Fox. We'll be chatting to him, and we'll have two songs from him as well. In fact, I don't think there'll be any features next week. We're just going to do half an hour with Bob Fox. So till then, from me, David Eagle, and my fellow young'uns, goodbye. And of course, we're going to end with that lady having a little sing at the end of our gig in Ryburn as she was clearing the stage away, having a little sing to John Ball. As if we haven't heard sing John Ball enough, let's hear another version of it. Unfortunately, she doesn't break into dubstep halfway through.
But
anyway, thank you again for listening. Till next week, goodbye. When we are all by the corner, oh,